We continue our discussion of the Lord's Prayer with thoughts presented by Dr. Frederick M. Smith, lately president of the reorganized Latter-day Saint Church. His writing shows deep and penetrating social insight, and we commend it to you. Following the three significant words of the Lord's Prayer, he writes, "Thy kingdom come," are those which give us the genius of the kingdom. Thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. We are accustomed to think of heaven as a place where perfection reigns, where everything is done according to the will of God. To think of the abode of the great Creator of the universe as being anything else than in a state of perfection is incongruous. But we take it as a matter of fact and fail to grasp the idea that the ultimate purpose of the great plan is to have that same will done on earth always and unfailingly. This will require a long period of evolution on man's part, but it can be brought about, and will be, by the gospel of Jesus Christ having perfect play in the lives of all of us. What finer condition of society can be conceived than that the will of God shall be continually done on earth? It means the elimination of sin and evil, for they are contrary to the will of the Father. It means the perfection of man. The means of bringing about such is the operation among men of the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. God has ordained that man in his physical being has need of certain things which will keep him physically alive. Man is a chemical and physical being as well as a spiritual one. The chemical changes going on within our bodies determine whether we experience happiness or misery. If all the functions of the body are perfect and well balanced, we live in comfort, not aware of organ functioning. We just feel good. Food is that which furnishes the basis for natural chemical functioning within our physical beings. So food is a prime need next to the oxygen of the air. For our needs we are taught to pray, and so we pray for our daily bread, physical food. But note, in the Lord's Prayer, the form of the petition is for our daily sustenance. That person who in his devotional address to deity only prays for his daily food is unchristian, and so purely selfish that he cannot know deity. If and when we can utter the Lord's Prayer in the real spirit in which it was given, and with due appreciation of its genius, and ask for our daily bread, it is virtually to say, "Let me eat, but let it be only when my brothers also have that which to assuage hunger and supply bodily needs. Let me go hungry when others hunger, and if there be too little for all, let me have my share only." Are you at heart such a Christian? Are you willing also to say, "Give us shelter and clothing, but withhold from me when not all have, or there are those who lack? I would be comfortably fed, pleasingly warm, and securely sheltered, but the feeling of nutritional fullness would be made distressing by the knowledge of others' hunger. The pleasure of warmth would be chilled by learning that others are illy clad. The sense of security in adequate shelter would be shattered in the thought that others had not where to lay their heads. I am glad that the Lord's Prayer would have us eat our daily bread while concerned about the welfare of others, as well as in the sweat of our faces. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In his weakness, man errs. It is human. Error must be rectified. Forgiveness, therefore, is necessary. But much of our error or sin is committed against neighbor or brother, so we must pray for forgiveness. But the Lord has taught us to say, "I have need of forgiveness, O Lord, but forgive me not if I hold aught against my brother because of offense he has given me." The genius and spirit of the Lord's Prayer demands only to the extent that we forgive are we to expect forgiveness on the part of deity. Again, the strong social content of the prayer is to the fore. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Sin came into the world through temptation. constantly forces are in operation to deflect men from the attitude and conduct demanded by the standards of Christianity. Man must fight his way up. Two men, each yielding the other moral support, can better resist evil than one can. A united group is still stronger against the social evils about them. But God does not lead us into temptation. We do not so believe anyway. So we Latter-day Saints prefer the translation of the Scripture which has the prayer to say, "Suffer us not to be led into temptation." But remember, for all do we pray deliverance from evil, whether it comes through temptation or otherwise. Today evil is about us everywhere. As long as human frailties permit envy, jealousy, strife, and ill will to be in our midst, so long will there be evil to avoid. Therefore we would avoid evil, even in its very appearance. But again, remember that the Lord has instructed us to pray that our neighbors, our brothers, all shall not be led into temptation, and to be protected against the evils we fear. How magnificently social is the whole of the Lord's Prayer. Any prayer would be incomplete without acknowledgement of our own humble relations to the Father, appropriating none of the honor or glory of our existence, wisdom, excellence, or attainments. We attribute the kingdom with its power and glory to God, where it belongs. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to Thee for the revelation of beauty and of truth and of goodness which has come to us through the ministry of Thy Son. We are grateful for the insight which His prayer gives to us, both as to the nature of the kingdom and the nature of our relation thereto. We thank Thee for the social insight which, if we follow and faithfully obey, will bring us to that great day when Thy kingdom shall shine forth upon the earth. This was Thy desire, and pray Thee that it may be our desire too. Help us then in all our relations with our fellow men to practice the principles revealed in the Lord's Prayer. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.